You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, November 14th. And we're going to be talking about Dwayne Casey and the Toronto Raptors as an emotional return beckons tonight. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for the listen and for spreading the word about the show to your friends. Today we're going to be talking about Dwayne Casey with Sean Woodley of Locked On Raptors, also about Kawhi Leonard and what's going on with the 12-2 Raptors. Going to be talking to him and also going to be hearing from the Locked On Nets guys about the Caris LeVert injury. The former Michigan player went down, but there was some good news about that, and we're going to get into that a little bit later. Tomorrow, we're going to talk a little bit more reaction from our John Wall trade discussion at Andy in Ann Arbor, and we'll squeeze him in Thursday's show after we talk about tonight's Pistons-Raptors game. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and give us a like on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Pistons and the Raptors, 7:30 tonight north of the border in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, one of my favorite cities. The Pistons are 10-point dogs on the road. Oh my, that is a lot of points, but certainly a chance for a head-turning win for the Pistons against a team that many believe might be the best in the Eastern Conference, possibly the best in the NBA so far this season. But also some good news on the local injury front, and we will get into that a little bit later. But first, we're going to go to our interview with Sean Woodley from Locked On Raptors about the Dwayne Casey reunion in Toronto tonight. All right, and now we're being joined by Sean Woodley, the host of the Locked On Raptors podcast. Sean, thanks for taking the time tonight.
Thank you for having me, Matt.
Big day in Toronto tonight as we air this on Wednesday's podcast. Dwayne Casey back with the Pistons taking on the Raptors. So what's it going to be like? I mean, you got the pulse of the fans there in Toronto. What do you think is the ovation, and what do we got planned for Dwayne Casey's return?
I would imagine there'll be quite a bit of sort of hoopla around it. I know all the media people have been talking about it for the better part of the last week already, kind of circling this game on the calendar. And, you know, Masai Ujiri said when he had his press conference, when he let go of Dwayne Casey, and then when he traded DeMar DeRozan, he made it pretty clear that they are going to be honoring DeMar DeRozan and Dwayne Casey for all they did for the Raptors over the last 5 to 9 years or 7 years, or I don't even know. They've been around a long time. They were around a long time. So they're going to honor what they did, because what they did was shepherd along the best era in Raptors history, and it's not even really close. And Dwayne Casey has so much to do with that, because he came into a team where there was just nothing. It was a destitute, bad contract-ridden team with very little in the way of exciting talent and guys who just kind of seemed like they were around to stick around and then go move somewhere else after their little time in Raptors jail was over. I mean, Kyle Lowry was one of those people. He said it before that he thought he was going to be gone after a short stop with the Raptors. And instead, he's ended up signing 2 extra contracts here and has helped. He's been the best player over this run. And Dwayne Casey kind of was the guy who reined him in. You know, Kyle always had a lot of issues in terms of dealing with coaches and was sort of seen as a bit of an ornery guy. And then Dwayne Casey was able to connect with him. They never always saw it eye to eye. There were some issues there, obviously. But, they ended up forging a really good relationship that helped build what the Raptors were. So everything the Raptors are today is kind of a result of Dwayne Casey and DeMar DeRozan. And Dwayne Casey, his building of the culture, it was so necessary when he came to the Raptors. And maybe they outgrew it. Maybe it was just time for a change. He didn't really deserve to be fired, but just the way the franchise was, it kind of made some sense considering that they'd kind of outgrown the need for a foundation building coach and kind of needed someone that was a bit more of a micromanaging, in-game tactician type guy. And that wasn't really Dwayne Casey's strength, but for all that he did, I think the Raptors are going to honor him sufficiently. There will be a tribute video, I'm sure, and a good ovation, I'm sure he'll get at some point, early in the game.
Now, Dwayne Casey had some comments to the Detroit News today that I'm reading on DetroitNews.com from Rod Beard, pretty much saying, it's not the city, it's not the fans, and even signaling out that it's not ownership, not signaling out that it's not Masai Ujiri. So, and it seems like from all purposes, it seemed like that was a singular decision made by him. And really, obviously, looking at the results so far for the Toronto Raptors, very clearly, maybe the correct decision. Is that how you understand it? Is that Ujiri kind of just made this call? And obviously, it's his prerogative to do so, too.
Yeah, I think it was entirely Masai. And like, I think he had a lot of trouble coming to that decision. I don't think it was easy. I think he took a lot of time to contemplate and make sure it was the right call for the team. And I do think that, you know, I'm not surprised Dwayne Casey and also DeMar DeRozan have kind of voiced ill will towards Masai Ujiri, but like, that's part of the job, man. Like, that's Masai's job, is to make those calls. And he said, you know, in some of his press conferences throughout the summer, that had he not made these moves, had he not pulled the trade, had he not fired Dwayne Casey, and it was the same thing for the Raptors all over again next season, then everyone's criticizing him for running back the same team. So it was kind of a no-win situation for him, because I don't really think that the team as it was constructed was going to be able to hang with the Bostons or the Phillies or even the Milwaukees now in the Eastern Conference. It would have been close. It would have been a top four team, but it's not the monster that it is now with Kawhi Leonard and under Nick Nurse's tutelage. You know, maybe Dwayne Casey would have been able to, you know, milk a little bit extra out of the team, but he kind of, I think, had reached the end of his rope. And so, yeah, it was not an easy call. And I think Masai had issues with, you know, just personally, and he talked about this being the worst part of the job. And if Masai ever moves on from, you know, being a GM, which I think at some point in the next 5 to 10 years he might, just because he seems like he has bigger fish to fry, whether it's with his charities in Africa and all that stuff, and Basketball Without Borders, he might just move on and take over that stuff and make that his full-time thing. But I also think a big reason why he'll do that is because he is really eaten alive by this personal stuff. So I don't think he's like thrilled that Dwayne Casey and DeMar DeRozan are still upset with him, but I think he kind of knows that it comes with the territory. And I think what Dwayne said kind of is what at least I think gives Raptors fans solace that, you know, DeMar DeRozan is not a player who is going to look back and, like, you know, and have an issue with the fans or the team or the franchise or anything, right? He's going to always cherish his time in Toronto. Same with Dwayne Casey. He's always going to look back on this time fondly, speak of the franchise highly, and he'll always be sort of a figure within Raptors history. And I'm sure after it's all said and done, when Dwayne's retired, when DeMar's retired, they're going to be honored sufficiently by the Raptors in even more sort of profound ways than they will be when they make their first visits back to Toronto. But it's, yeah, it's not an easy call. And I'm not surprised that Masai is kind of the target of their scorn right now. But again, it's just part of the job. And he had a really tough call to make, and he decided to make it.
Yes, sir!
Yeah, like you said, a lot of success with the Lowry and DeRozan and Casey group. But so far, like we said, 12-2 with Kawhi Leonard in there. Are you surprised? I mean, obviously, he's been healthy. I think he sat out a couple of back-to-backs. Correct me if I'm wrong there, but Kawhi, have you been surprised about just how quickly this whole thing has blended together and how this team is looking as good as anyone else in the NBA throughout the first few weeks?
Yeah, yes and no, because I think, you know, on a talent basis, it was pretty easy to see that this team was going to be really good. And when you heard Nick Nurse talk in the preseason, like, he could almost barely like stifle a smile whenever he talked about how good the team could be, because it can be a really, really good team. And I did think it would take longer for it all to kind of work together. You're working in a new superstar. I thought the offense might actually be kind of quicker to come along, because what Kawhi does is kind of similar to what DeMar DeRozan used to do. He's a lot of ISO stuff. He's a lot of mid-range. He's a kind of similar playmaker and passer. But the way the offense has worked, it's clicked so, like, even faster than the with the speed at which I thought it would. From day one, it was really good. And the defense, I thought, was going to take a while to coalesce. And that's kind of been true. They've had some rough games, especially against the Pelicans for their second loss of the season on Monday night. Their defense really was undisciplined. They got caught up and confused by a whole lot of screening actions. Anytime Anthony Davis set a screen for somebody, they kind of just seemed to be lost in the woods until they started switching everything late in the game. But that's stuff that'll come in time. And they have these swaths of games where it's like 5 or 6 minutes where the other team just can't muster anything and they can't find an open look to save their lives. And that's where the Raptors really are dangerous, and they kind of hit a gear. And, you know, the fact that they've hit that gear, you know, pretty frequently so far through 14 games is not surprising to me, but it's really encouraging too. And I think they've already kind of reached what I thought they could be. I picked them to win like 55 to 60 games somewhere in there. They're on track to smash that at this point. And the way they've played, like, I would expect them to win over 60 at this point. So yeah, I think it's been a bit better than I expected, but the talent was always here. it was always a matter of how quickly does Nick Nurse take over and kind of implement his system. And I think that's been pretty quick as well. And I think you're helped by the fact that Nurse has been here for 5 years as an assistant before taking over the head coaching job. So it's not like you have a whole new guy coming in implementing a whole new system. The offense is largely the same as was what it was last year when there was all the publicity about it being so, you know, reinvigorated and an offensive culture change and all that stuff. That was all Nick Nurse for the most part. So I'm not entirely surprised that it's worked that it is this good. I guess it's just the speed with which it's happened is a little bit shocking to me.
Well, what have been the surprises with these individuals? I've got an old friend alert for the Pistons with Greg Monroe brought in free agency. Sure. And then the second unit that was talked about so much last year with Dwayne Casey giving a lot of these guys chances, guys like Van Vliet and then Pascal Siakam just coming onto the scene. It seems like some of these guys on the bench have taken a step forward as well this year.
Yeah, the bench has actually been a bit of a disappointment compared to last year because the bench was so good last season. If you remember, like they would just go on these runs where they don't score teams. They'd go on like 20-2 runs just with their defense and shooting and transition game. And that hasn't been the case this year because some guys have been hurt. DeLon Wright's missed a bunch of games. Fred VanVleet has. OG Anunoby has missed a couple of games for personal stuff. And then Norm Powell and CJ Miles have all been hurt. Like that's pretty much every part of that bench unit. Aside from Pascal Siakam, who's starting now, and Jakob Poeltl, who's gone in the Kawhi Leonard trade. So it's a whole new bench unit. Jonas Valanciunas has been a big part of it, and it's kind of weird. Like, there have been very good individual performances. Van Vliet started the season strong before a bit of a slowdown lately as he's dealt with a foot injury. But, like, OG Anunoby's been really good when he's been in there. He's scoring quite, you know, frequently compared to last year where he was just kind of a bit part in the offense. He's kind of taking a bit more upon himself. Jonas Valanciunas has been just dynamite in small sample situations. I would imagine we might see a bit of a change because he's been coming off the bench for the most part this season, only starting against, you know, specific matchups. And I would guess he's going to get the start against Andre Drummond, considering his history of really excelling against Drummond. But even then, like, he might not play more than 20 minutes, but even then he's been putting up double doubles in those 20 minutes most nights. So though they've been really impressive, the thing that's gotten me is just the starters have been just a buzzsaw. And it's not exactly shocking, I guess, when you look at the players in there, considering Kyle Lowry's been playing out of his mind and Kawhi's there and Danny Green is Danny Green. And but then you have Pascal Siakam and Serge Ibaka. And Ibaka has been just like re-energized to a degree I never thought he was going to get again. He looked like he was dead last year in the playoffs. He was totally unplayable. He got benched. And this season, playing as a full-time center, they've split him and Valanciunas up entirely. Playing him as a full-time center has really opened up the Raptors' floor for you know, him and other players when he's out there. And he's just in a position to succeed more because he's at the rim. He's not chasing guys in the perimeter. He's just near the rim where he can block shots and do Serge Ibaka things. And then next to him, Pascal Siakam is maybe an early contender for most improved player. He's been outstanding. He's led the team in scoring, I think, two straight games, three of the last four, something like that. He's got like nearly a 70% true shooting percentage right now. And he just won player of the week, obviously. And it just only seems like it's getting better with him every single game. So when you put it all together, that's an incredibly good defensive lineup where everyone except Siakam is a good shooter. And then Siakam, you can't really leave him alone because if you do, he's just going to drive into you. If there's any space that you're giving him, he's going to drive into you, use his patented spin move and score on you on a, you know, 8-foot push shot, which he never, ever misses. So it's been really hard to guard. And, you know, last night was kind of the first time, or Monday night was kind of the first time that they really got away from what's made them successful. But, you know, it's been a hard team to talk about because there's nothing to really complain about. It's all pretty good so far. And that starting five, I think, has probably been just the way it's coalesced and the way Ibaka and Siakam have kind of exceeded expectations, I guess, have been the biggest surprises.
Yeah, and I like the addition. A lot of people kind of poo-pooed the Danny Green portion of the Kawhi Leonard trade, and obviously a nice start for him, up around 10 points a game so far for the Raptors, but 11 deep when they're healthy. So is that, I mean, obviously it's going to be tough to find some minutes, but a good problem to have, especially at this point in the season.
Yeah, it's really nice to have a lot of good wings who can shoot threes. That's kind of their problem right now is, I guess not really now because CJ Miles has missed a couple games. He got hurt in Monday's game and might be out for a little while here. And then Norm Powell separated his shoulder, so he's out for like 6 weeks. So they're a little bit thinner there now, but even then they have DeLon Wright, who's their third point guard, who can also play the two and sometimes the three. Danny Green's out there, obviously. They haven't really gone to it yet, but they could totally do like a super big option where they go with, you know, Kyle at the point guard, Kawhi Leonard, OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam as a 2-3-4 or something along those lines to get by without Miles and Powell for right now. But You know, that's the thing is they're insanely deep. I mean, you mentioned Greg Monroe earlier. He's barely even played. He's just in garbage time duty at this point because Ibaka and Valanciunas have been so good as the two centers. There's just no need for Monroe right now. I think the only way he really gets run is if one of those guys gets hurt, and it might only be if Valanciunas gets hurt just because he's kind of a close approximation to what Valanciunas is. So, yeah, like it's just the depth is very, very noticeable on this team. Even when they have guys out, like they're still going nine deep, and that is a problem that I think a lot of teams wish they could have, where they don't when they're fully healthy, they don't really know who's going to get the minutes. I think by the end of the year, we'll see, assuming everyone gets healthy and back to form. I would assume like CJ Miles kind of seems like the odd man out to me eventually, just because he's like the only bad defender on the team, and everyone else is kind of two-way, at least a little bit. And I think that's why Norm Powell, who they're also more invested in long-term, they have a four-year contract with him that started this season for north of $40 million. I have a feeling he'll probably sneak in as like the 10th guy, and we'll see how deep they go with it in the playoffs. It might just go down to 8 or 9, but even then, like the more you get it pared down, just the more talented it gets sort of on a per-player basis. It's just they're a really deep team, really well-built. They've really maximized, late first-round picks, second-round picks, undrafted free agents like Fred VanVleet. They've done a really good job of building the team, and like I sound like an insane homer right now, but like there's not really much to be upset about, so that's where we are.
And that's where the Pistons are headed tonight to take on the 12-2 Toronto Raptors in pretty much a buzzsaw on the court for 48 minutes, but what could be an interesting and emotional night for Dwayne Casey and also the Pistons as well, who you got to believe will be, obviously they like Dwayne Casey so far, no reason not to, a 500 start for this team. But I think that they might bring a little bit extra to try to get the coach the win on his return back to Toronto, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm curious to see like what the Dwayne Casey Nick Nurse interaction is, because there are some rumors and reports that maybe they weren't super close by the end, and maybe there were some things where Nick Nurse kind of made it pretty vocal that he thought he could do better than Dwayne Casey, and after 5 years as being sort of his underling, maybe that wasn't received so well. So that should be fun. Like, will there be any drama in the handshake? Will anyone throw a punch? I don't know. We'll see. That'll be fun. Well, I doubt that happens, but I wouldn't be shocked if they like avoid a handshake, and that'd be nice and juicy for us. So yeah, this should be a fun one. The Pistons are always a team that the Raptors seem to handle, but like never that easily. Remember that game last year where they went to OT and like DeMar dunked on Anthony Tolliver, and like there was a
remember that game. Yes,
that was a wild game. I'm glad Anthony Tolliver has landed somewhere else in the NBA and not 6 feet underground after that dunk. That's nice. I'm glad he's on the Wolves now, which in the super happy fun Wolves. So shouts to Anthony Tolliver.
Yeah, suddenly.
Yeah, but yeah, it should be a fun one. I'm curious to see how it all goes. And the Pistons have not given the Raptors that much trouble historically, but they are the thing about Dwayne Casey, say what you want about what happens in the playoffs, but that dude can win a regular season game, and that is valuable, and that matters a lot, especially to a team like the Pistons that's missed the playoffs a whole bunch in recent years and has not really been able to get anything sort of consistent going. I mean, Dwayne Casey's an awesome coach for the Pistons, and I think you'll see over the course of the season, roles will be established and guys will start to excel in those roles as they realize exactly what it is they have to do every single night. That is Dwayne Casey's strength. He's a foundation builder. He makes sure that people know exactly what they need to be doing on a given night and when they're going to be going into the game. And that over the course of a season is going to win you a ton of games. So I'm rooting for the Pistons because I love Dwayne Casey. And as sad as I was to see him go, it was probably time, but I just want all the best for him because he is a big reason why the Raptors are where they are today.
And we certainly remember that overtime game because as a team who hasn't made the playoffs in about 10 years or hasn't won a playoff game in the past 10 years, those kind of games really stand out to us. That was probably a top five memory from last season. And to be an overtime home loss being one of your top five games, that maybe says where you're at with an organization right now. But Sean Woodley, I think that Dwayne Casey might get a little bit jealous of the top end talent on the roster, and especially the middle end of that roster and the bottom of that rotation. Just a lot of firepower that the Pistons clearly don't have.
I feel bad for Casey almost because he got fired before they made the Kawhi trade. And I wonder, had they made the Leonard trade before, if he gets fired, if maybe Masai says, all right, that's enough. We got Kawhi. Let's go, Dwayne. What do you got? And gives him one more year with it. Like, it's kind of a strange order of operations thing that in hindsight, like, could have gone differently had the offseason transpired a little differently.
Yeah, right. That was kind of the storyline, that they weren't going to move Lowry or DeRozan and that they needed to make some kind of change. And then obviously a bigger change would come later. But Sean Woodley of Locked On Raptors, follow him at Woodley, W-O-O-D-L-E-Y, Sean, S-E-A-N. Sean, thanks for taking the time and enjoy the game tonight.
Of course, man. You too.
Great news from the injury front for the Brooklyn Nets and former Michigan player Caris LeVert. We're going to have the Locked On Nets guys talking about that here in a minute. But the Locked On Podcast Network is doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, follow Locked On NBA Net, and you get all the Locked On Podcast Network local hosts covering their NBA teams in one feed. It is amazing during game nights, breaking news, and also get the local perspective and what's going on. On Instagram, Locked On NBA Net is giving you the biggest stories in just 1 minute on your Instagram stories, and also longer cuts on the biggest stories in the feeds. Hopefully we'll make an entrance in there if the Pistons have some big news sometime soon on the Instagram feed. But make sure you follow Locked On NBA Net on both Twitter and Instagram. And here's the Locked On Nets guys breaking down the Caris LeVert scary injury and I guess happy aftermath from Tuesday.
Josh, I remember you texting me that Caris LeVert suffered just a season-ending injury. You were watching the game live. I was taping it. I immediately turned it on. You texted me immediately after it happened. I rewinded it about 2-3 minutes. I watched Caris airball that three, and then just sprinting back down the court, goes for a block, and you couldn't necessarily see the foot twist like it did on the replay, but you heard him scream, and immediately the towel goes over his leg, and then you see the replay, and it was very reminiscent about what happened to Gordon Hayward last year. And I was getting flashbacks of when Jeremy Lin got hurt the night immediately after Hayward getting hurt. It was just this horrific start to last season, and then it kind of felt like the Nets whole franchise went crashing down in one moment.
Yeah, I mean, it just was such a horrific instance to a guy who's just a great basketball player, but also an awesome human from everything we've heard, and someone that everyone, all of his teammates, former teammates, Michigan alumni, just really have rallied behind over the last couple of years. And I mean, the broadcast, I think after it happened, Ryan Rucco and Sarah Kustak, who were doing the game, I don't think there was a peep from them for the next 5 minutes. It kind of just was a haunting feeling as the medical staff went to work on Caris LeVert, putting towels over his legs, and both the fans at the game, Minnesota's team, and the Nets and Caris's teammates kind of just stood around waiting to see if it really was as bad as it appeared on TV.
Yeah, no, it felt like something genuinely traumatic had happened, and you saw Hollis Jefferson, he was crying during the free throws. One of the shots that stuck with me, and maybe before we go further down this road, we should brighten everyone's day up a little bit, and I'm sure as everyone listening already knows, but if you don't, I'm happy to give you this just astoundingly good news. The report from the Nets team's orthopedist, Dr. Martin O'Malley, noted that LeVert was diagnosed with a subtilar dislocation of his right foot, an injury that, again, nothing definitive yet. The speculation is that it'll keep him out around 2 months, but the consensus is that he will return this season, and at least on initial look, the most likely spot for that would be after the All-Star break, barring any setbacks, which again can happen quite easily with injuries this severe. But the big note there is minimal ligament damage, and again, it was just so reminiscent of what happened to Hayward. I mean, I'm sure Josh, and I mean, based on your text, this was your first thought. My first thought was, again, this was just going to be career altering in the way everyone was reacting. It was kind of implicit that it would be.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, Hayward, I think, LeVert's looked terrible on TV, but I think Hayward's looked a bit worse. The thing was, though, just the reaction that everyone had around him. I mean, they immediately knew that something had gone horribly wrong, and unfortunately, it didn't go as wrong as it appeared. But just whenever you have announcers and everyone on the court just, like, not looking, and they immediately bring out the script, it's always a bad sign.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say before we got into the update, it was like that really got me when they cut to everyone on the bench just crying, everyone silent. Beginning of the second half, I think like the opening shot on the broadcast was Joe Harris on the court, and you can see he was literally wiping tears out of his eyes. And you forget these guys are, I mean, on this Nets team, they're really young. They're our age for the most part, or a few years older. I mean, in some cases, quite a bit older. But for the most part, these are still kids to a degree. And it's just, that's to see like a guy like that, your brother, go down. And like, obviously it was such an emphasis. I know Zach Lowe, who said he's been, hopefully it still comes out in some capacity. He said he was working on a feature on LeVert, and you heard it from Adrian Wojnarowski. You heard it from every Nets reporter. You heard it again and again from Ryan Rucco and Sarah Kustak. It's something we note on this podcast a lot. Just, the heartbreak was due in large part to what kind of, respect everyone has for Caris LeVert. And you even saw guys like Paul George like reaching out to Caris over Twitter, and obviously the implication was, again, that this was an injury that was more severe than what we found it out to be. But it was still kind of it was nice to be reminded that the NBA is such a community, and Caris, who is, I mean, as Kenny Atkinson put it, the heart and soul of our program, he's a guy who's just so deserving of that kind of love and thoughts and prayers in this kind of situation. So I thought, I know this is, again, just not, none of this is basketball centric, but I thought that was kind of, that was nice to see for me, just how much respect he has across the league already.
And that will do it for the show. This is Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thanks to Sean Woodley of Locked On Raptors and also the guys from Locked On Nets for joining us today on the show. We'll have a game to break down for Thursday's show. We got some more listener reaction from John Wall Trade News. All sorts of good stuff. Give me a follow on social media, on Twitter, Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. The Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and also on Facebook, Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. Thanks for all you guys do, for all the support. Send me some leads on some sponsors if you know anyone who wants to get in touch with local Detroit sports fans. And enjoy the game tonight. Pistons at Raptors, Great White North, 7:30 p.m. And to have a good day, everyone.